be in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Morning. Just we continue with our theme this month, the four things about Christ. This morning, we're going to talk about four things to obey about Christ. I don't know how much trouble the other elders have had getting the four things, but I know I thought this was probably the hardest thing I've had to do in a while, as far as just try to think about, you just want to kind of put up everything and just say, and kind of be, but to kind of, hopefully the four that I've picked out will make some sense this morning, and you'll find it beneficial. So when we talk about obedience, I think we understand what that means. It means to follow someone or in their direct command or in that. And we're going to talk about that and as we go through these four things to obey this morning, and how we should be obedient to Christ. The first one I want to look at is simply his commands. In John 14:15, if we turn there, very short verse, and it's really found, and again, we don't have the time in this short time this morning to kind of put the whole, to read a lot around this, but in this passage, in John 14:15 and 16 and 17, it's really at that last week of Christ's life, and it's when he's talking to his disciples, and he's starting to talk to them about a helper is going to come and to help them. But John 14:15 just simply states, if you love me, keep my commandments. I think we understand this in just about every role we have in life, don't we? I mean, there may be people we work for we don't necessarily love, but or there may be some relationships we have. But when we talk about those relationships that are closest to us, and that's one of the things that I think, the parent-child relationship teaches us early on, does it not? That how do we show our love for our parents? It's by being obedient to them. And in turn, we understand that as children or as parents, that when our children are obedient to us, that they're showing their love and respect. And we may refer to a lot of time as respect, but it is. It shows our love. And it's very, very straightforward that to me, an obedience to Christ, and it kind of begins and ends with love. If we had the time to turn over in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about, how important love is and the type of love that we should have and what love is. It's not just that, that puppy love or that glimmer in someone's eye when you meet someone when you're young, but it's that love that you're willing to die for someone, that you're willing to give your life for someone. And then also along with that same line, if we turn just maybe a page over in your Bibles or maybe on the same page, and continuing in this same talk that Jesus has given to his disciples, later on he mentions, and we'll look at verse 9 and verse 10 together, it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So this love that we talked about, or that's mentioned there, that Jesus mentioned in John 14:15, this same love is talked about in what way? His love toward the Father. And then in so turn, if we take advantage of that love, that we in what? Then we abide. And I don't know if you stop and think, there's a lot of words that are in the Bible, or several words in the Bible that we don't use a lot in our, day-to-day English and things like that. But when you talk about abide, or maybe we use the word abode in someone, it's kind of very closely related words there. But when we abide with someone, what does that mean? It means to stay with, doesn't it? It means that we're you have this relationship that's ongoing. It's not just a one time, you know, to come up front and somebody says, well, I love Christ, you know, I'm going to be obedient to him. It's this idea of a perpetual nature, I believe. It's that idea that it's ongoing, that it's something that, again, to abide in, that you're maintaining, that you're not only maintaining, but you're pursuing it, that you keep that relationship going, that you keep that relationship and understand the connection there, that we abide in Christ, and in some turn, he's abiding in the Father. And in that turn that we have, that we have that relationship. So understand this in the context of our talks this month. You know, the first thing we want to do is we want to obey his commands. The second thing that I wanted to look at is to obey his examples. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21, it mentions there, and I'm going to read verses 22 through 24. 1 Peter 2, verses beginning in verse 21, it says, for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So and if you look back, but the understanding this is that in the context of 1 Peter 2:21, he's talking about really, and I didn't put that up there, I didn't read that, but in 1 Peter 2:21, he's actually, if you go back to verse 18, he's talking about the servant-master relationship and the servitude there. And what does that say about Christ? It says, look at his reaction to these, obviously, and we're studying the Gospel of John, and we're going to, you know, get to in a few weeks, a few months, I guess, we'll get to, you know, that great sacrifice on the cross. And the idea there is when it talks about this example, and it, you know, quotes there in verse 22, who committed no sin nor was deceit found in his mouth, but the examples that I put up there for us is that he did not revile, he did not threaten, and he committed himself to him who judges righteously. And if we can just think about that, and when we look at our, you know, thinking about using Christ as an example for us and in our obedience to Christ, and understand that we need to be that type of example. You know, we're not always going to be treated fairly. And like I said, the context there, you know, it's talking about the master relationship. And it's not talking about somebody that you've got the greatest boss in the world, that you've got, you know, the greatest person to work for, that you're, you know, that everything always goes great for you. It's no matter what the situation is, that you're submissive in that nature. Not that you, you know, give in or you don't stand up for yourself, but it's that matter of you're Christ-like. We are as a Christian, and we obey that type of example. And then the second one that I wanted to look at as far as an example, and I didn't know any other way to put it other than it was good enough for Paul. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, if you turn over there with me, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, and again, this is one of those times, and you probably heard me say this in class and different places in different times, this is one of those times where the chapter divisions kind of throw you off a little bit. But in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, we'll back up here and we'll read, I'll just read verse 24, and then I want to read verses 31 through 33. In verse 24 of chapter 10, it says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. And then 31 through 33, it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all in the glory of God. Again, the context here is that of these meats that have been sacrificed to idols and whether you should or shouldn't eat. But again, I think the overall message and we can take away this lesson, I don't think it's out of context to take it a little bit out of context and use the point that Paul's making here. Therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all in the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jew or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And that's the important part there in the end of verse 33, that they may be saved. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And again, it kind of goes back to that what we talked about first about his commands, that if we show our love for Christ, then we're showing our love for the Father. Whereas Paul knew that if he was, and he put himself in that position as an inspired writer and as an apostle, that he was confident enough in his ability and his obedience to Christ that, imitate me. Just why? Not because I'm Paul, not because of all that I've been through, but just because I am trying to be Christ-like. And so we all have those, we have people that we look up to and that we, not that we put them on a pedestal and say that they're perfect, but we see people that we say, wow, I want to be that type of Christian. I want to have those type of characteristics. And maybe all of us have strengths and weaknesses that we bring. I mentioned that before as far as, when I call it having the baggage that you might bring in when you obey the gospel. But we also have those strengths. And sometimes those weaknesses we have when we first become a Christian, they turn into our greatest strengths. And sometimes people look at you, and I've heard people make comments to other people, and I've known people that were, very humble in nature, and then someone makes a comment to them, and they're like, oh, no, you don't want to look at me like that. You don't want to use me as an example. But they are. I mean, there's people that we all know. There's people that we can all grow from. And it may be people a lot younger than us. It may be Christians a lot older than us. But they're examples. But the ultimate example is that of Christ. And again, that we want to obey his example. The next that I wanted to read, and this is from what I had asked Jim to read this morning, is that idea of we want to obey his mindset. The first one is the example we have was what Jim read for us this morning from Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. And what was read says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So here we see several things that we can take and look at the mindset that Christ had. What did that mindset do for Christ? He didn't consider himself of no reputation in verse 7. He took the form of a bondservant or a servant's attitude. He also in verse 8 talks about he humbled himself. That kind of goes back to that idea of no reputation. And then obedient to the point of death that, Christ knew. And I think that's one of those things that, I don't know about you, but not that you have to be impressed by the Bible. The Bible needs to impress you in some way. But one of the great things that's always astounded me about the gospel and about Jesus Christ himself is the fact that he knew what was going to happen to him. I think about how much sometimes we worry about things and how we get, kind of burned down and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But Jesus did. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in class this morning, but we'll start talking about that. But I think that's something to understand is that, but Christ knew he knew his purpose. He knew what was going to do. You see it kind of come to a climax, say, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night that he was betrayed and that, the prayer that he prayed to the Father. And to understand the full scope of that, I just don't think we can as human beings in our minds, but to understand that the mindset that Christ had, that he did go and he was obedient, like it says there in verse 8, to the point of death, and that mindset that takes to have that humble nature and to have that, to not be of no, consider yourself, to come in the likeness of a man, and to be, and so I, find it hard to imagine that someone could say, well, look at all the things that I've done for the Lord, and look at all the things that I'm doing for the gospel. It's like, really? you got to put yourself in perspective and keep a humble nature as far as where you're at. And I think that shows the mindset that Christ had in coming to this earth. And then kind of going along with that, in 1 Peter 4, verse 1, over in 1 Peter 4, and we'll read verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live, verse 2, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. So this mindset that we're talking about being obedient to, it'll put us, this mindset will put us in right relationship to to live for the will of God. So it won't be our will that we're trying to fulfill. It won't be our purpose or our end goal. It will be what Christ, or what we see Christ and what God wants us to do. And I think, you know, if you look at the writer there being Peter, and you think about, you know, how reactionary he was when Christ was on the earth, and how much he learned, and again, you know, and how that came to fruition in his life, that we understand that. So I think as we look at this, and then finally, the fourth point I wanted to make is the words of his disciples, and to be obedient to the words of his disciples. And this one, I just wanted to look at three passages fairly quickly as we come to a close. The first one was pretty straightforward, Matthew 16:19, and that the keys of the kingdom were given to the apostles. Again, you know, that's that passage that often gets taken out of context, and that's not our purpose this morning. But again, understanding that, you know, I think that was fulfillment was on in Acts 2, where the apostles came, you know, and on the day of Pentecost and were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that, to me and my understanding, that's where those keys of the kingdom were open to all men. So the apostles were given the keys to the kingdom. In so doing, then it follows in that in Luke chapter 10, verse 16, it puts Jesus puts in perspective then of what the role of the apostles are and just the power and the authority that they're going to have. In Luke 10:16, it says, "He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." I think that's the hardest passage to read, but you get the idea. It's that same kind of thing that we talked about earlier, is it not? About that relationship of us to Christ, and then our obedience to Christ leads up to our obedience to who? The Father. And you see the chain, and see the, I think, the commonality in all of what we're talking about this morning. But again, Luke 10:16, "He who hears you hears me, he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." So understand that I don't, Jesus in no way is mincing words there, is he not? I mean, he's straightforward saying this is the power that they're going to have. And this is the authority that they're going to have. And then finally, in receiving the word, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and looking at verses 13 through 16. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 through 16 says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, become imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea and in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord and Jesus, their own prophets. And having persecuted us, they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." And the reason I read all that, it was just for that one, the one point there that it's made there. Also, welcome it as the word of God. That's important. But then the word he uses there, at least in the New King James in verse 14, and I think that to me kind of sums up what we're talking about this month in all these lessons. Is the word there, what does he say about them? And your translation may have a different word. But if we talk about obedience or to follow Christ or all the things we're talking about this month, in essence, what are we trying to do? We're trying to be imitators. And, you know, I don't think, you know, little kids, you know, they imitate different things. They're imitating things. I think that's just why it's so important, you know, what they watch and what they hear, because they will imitate just about anything they see or hear. But I think that's the same thing. As we think about this morning, we think about these four things, and again, you might have a totally different idea of things to be obedient to Christ, but if we think about his commands, if we think about being obedient to his example, obedient to his mindset, and obedient to the words of the apostles, I think all those together, along with all the other talks that we're doing this month, is that idea we will become imitators of Christ. And I think that's the thing that we all want to be. And, you know, in essence, being Christians as we should be. So I think our time's about up this morning. So that's all I have. And I failed to see who had the... Oh, Brother Boyd. We'll have Boyd lead a closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed to our classes.
Let's bow. Dear Father, we thank you for another beautiful Lord's Day.